So the reading is from Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 21 to verse 25, and can be found on page 1006 in the Church Bible. Mark 4, verse 21. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Christina. Do keep that open if you're able to as we look at it together. It's page 1006 in the New Testament. So I have tinnitus in my left ear. Tinnitus, some of you may be familiar with this if you're of advancing age like I am, is when you can hear a sound that isn't really there. So for me, it's a high-pitched whistle. It's a high F-sharp, an F-sharp 8, for those who are musically inclined. Top end of the piano keyboard, just off the top. And it started one Tuesday morning about 5 years ago, and it never went away. So it's there all the time, 24/7. Of course, it's most noticeable when it's quiet. It's kind of not so noticeable when it's loud. And it's caused by an imbalance in my hearing. So my right ear is more or less fine. My left ear can't detect high-pitched sounds above about 4 or 5 kilohertz, for the more technically minded folks. So speech and music is fine, but any high-frequency detail I can't really hear on the left. I can only hear it on the right. And what my brain has started to do is fill in the sound I can't hear. It started to fill in the gap. So it manufactures an imaginary whistle just off the top of the spectrum I can hear. Continuously on that side. That's what the high F-sharp is. It's just off the top of where I can hear to fill in the silence. Really interesting, isn't it, what your brain does? And, of course, I'm very aware of that now as I listen to things. So hearing subtle kind of high-pitched quiet noises like clock ticks, I can really only hear on the right, or I can only hear the detail on the right. And tasks like setting up microphones or guitars, I tend to use my right ear for and turn my head slightly to be able to do it on that side. It's also made me very protective of my hearing on the right. When I'm doing things like power drilling, I put my ear defenders on like you're supposed to, because I don't want to lose that ability on the only side where it's left. What will you be listening to in 2025? Not just sounds, not just which notes on the piano keyboard, but what voices and messages will be loudest in your mind? What will you choose to hear more of this year? What damaging voices might you protect yourself against? What might you start imagining you hear to fill in the silence if the good voices from outside become muted? Our short passage tonight is about spiritual hearing, about listening rightly for gospel truth, and protecting our spiritual ears from damage, ensuring we don't fill the silence with false voices. It's a great passage, actually, as we start the new year. It was a good one to turn to. And our key verse is verse 23 in the middle. That's the one to remember if you want to take a verse home this evening. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Now, we're picking up Jesus' teaching in Mark chapter 4. Where we left it off last year, I think it was just maybe under a year ago, we were working through the first four chapters. So we're here straight after the parable of the sower, or really the parable of the soils. The whole topic of chapter 4 is about hearing Jesus' teaching and about how it lands with people, the gospel message. And in the parable, Jesus' words fall on different kinds of soil, different people's hearts. So there's some who ignore it immediately, and some who build roots so shallow it goes away at the first bad day. And some where it's choked out by other priorities, and some where it takes root You can find the sermon on the website if you want to turn back to it. But it's quite a familiar story. And we're still on the same topic of hearing Jesus' words. And you could say that if the parable of the soils in verses 1 to 20 was a warning about hearing badly, about listening poorly, this bit, verses 21 to 25, are Jesus' commands about hearing well, about listening to Jesus well. So that's our topic this evening. How do we listen well to gospel truth? That's what we're trying to do. I want to make two quick notes on how we understand this passage before we get into the detail, though. The first one is just to say that for the disciples, gospel truth, the message of the gospel, was Jesus' actual in-person voice. He was there with them teaching these words. Plus, attached to that, all of what God had said in the Old Testament scriptures that he referred to and that they listened to. For us today, both of those voices flow through the Bible, don't they? That's where we hear Jesus' own voice, his own words, and where we hear the voice of the Lord and the Father and the Spirit through the whole of Scripture. So I'm going to, as I apply this passage to hearing Jesus, I'll take it that that's what we mean today. We mean hearing his voice through Scripture for us today, reading it and hearing it explained and hearing it out loud. So that's the first point. The second is that all the phrases in these passages, I guess, may have felt a bit familiar if you've read some of the Gospels before or heard them taught on. And that's because Jesus uses all three of the sayings in this passage more than once. He uses them in other places too, to teach different crowds about different things as he travelled around. So the Gospel writers collect and organise phrases slightly differently. They've each got their own theme to follow. But even within each individual gospel, you'll find Jesus uses the same saying multiple times in slightly different contexts to different crowds in different places. So verse 21, the lamp on the stand, comes up four times in the gospels, twice in Luke, and then once each in Mark and Matthew. Verse 23, if anyone has ears, let them hear, comes up seven times across the Gospels. It's a really common phrase. And verse 24, about the measure you use, being the measure that's used for you, comes up six times, once in Mark, three times in Matthew, and twice in Luke, in different places when he's talking to different groups. So in each of those places, Jesus is bringing out a slightly different point. And I'm sorry to labour this, but I think it's a really helpful thing to make sure we've got as we head into the passage. We need to not think that all of those are just sort of squished together into one teaching point. So, for example, when Jesus mentions the lamp on the stand, we need to focus on the context here in Mark, which is about people hearing Jesus' own words, and recognise that's distinct from the famous one in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, where he's talking about his followers being salt and light to the world. They will inform each other. There are some similarities, but he's not making quite the same point to the same crowd. So good. They're both probably good general notes as we read the Gospels, but particularly relevant to this short, dense little passage. So I hope they're helpful pointers as we start. But our question for tonight is, how do we listen well to the voice of Jesus and of his Father in Scripture? And I'm going to suggest four reasons to listen well. So these are our four points for this evening. And here's the first. Listen well because it is for everyone. Listen well because it is for everyone. This really is from verse 23, or verses 21 to 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Who has ears? Basically, everyone. Jesus isn't ignoring physical hearing impairment, of course, like mine is starting to become. In fact, he recognized and cared about it. If you turn to Mark 7, he heals a deaf person. But his point here is simple. The gospel message is meant for everybody who is able to hear it. He doesn't say, sometimes the contrast is helpful, isn't it? He doesn't say, if anyone is interested in me, let them hear. Or if anyone is smart enough to understand what I'm saying with good grades in English, let them hear. Or if anyone is a good church-going character, let them hear. Or if anyone is feeling calm or is always kind or isn't grieving or isn't damaged, isn't distracted, wants to concentrate today, always prays regularly, has access to good study materials, let them hear. It's none of those things, is it? in this passage. The only qualification to listen to Jesus is to have ears, in his picture language. The basic ability to hear or read or be taught in a way that works for you, his voice in Scripture. The gospel command to let them hear is for everyone. And he uses this simple visual picture of that in verse 21 of light. Let's look at it together. Verse 21, he said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed?" Implication, no, of course you don't. That's ridiculous. Instead, you put it on its stand. Our houses today have more windows and more lights than houses did when this was first heard and written. But I think we probably still understand the principle pretty instinctively, don't we? When you're trying to position your interior lights in a house, you want to put them where they light up the whole room so that wherever somebody is in the room, they benefit from the light. When Stephen and the team were getting the LED lights replaced in church just before Christmas, they didn't sit down and think, let's do it a bit differently this time. Let's put all of the lights in the toilet at the back of church so that that seat is really well illuminated. That wouldn't have been good, would it? They thought, let's distribute them properly and point them properly in the ceiling so that every seat in the church, every person in the building gets light. And that's all that Jesus is talking about here. And Jesus is using that picture about himself. He's the lamp in this picture, himself and his gospel teaching, as he is in all of chapter 4. He's saying, I didn't come to declare the gospel in the church bathroom or to any other individual seat and nowhere else. I came to tell it to as many people as possible. I came to shine it everywhere. It is for everyone. My family listens to a lot of Christmas music. We have very strict rules about Christmas decorations, or really I should probably say I have very strict rules about Christmas decorations. They don't go up before the 12th of December, they come down by the 6th of January. But Christmas music is allowed all year. We love it, and we play a lot of it in December. And the album we played most this year, I think, was by Matt Mayer. He's a Christian songwriter, and particularly for me, the track Hope for Everyone tells the Christmas story, and each line of the verses finishes the same way. Wise men saw a star, there's hope for everyone. Shepherds heard the choir, there's hope for everyone. On the manger floor, there's hope for everyone. All of heaven shouts, there's hope for everyone. And the reason that's true of Christmas is because it is true of the gospel. It is hope for everyone. Of course, that means as a church, our doors will need to be open to everyone, doesn't it? It does have an effect on our evangelism and our teaching, but it also means, and this is the point I want us to hear tonight particularly, that if it is for everyone, it is for you. If it is for everyone, it is for you. Whatever you're heading into in 2025, whatever isn't known, here's the thing you can know. The gospel is for you. That's the one voice you must listen to this January. So listen well to Jesus, because the gospel is for everyone. And then second, and more briefly, listen well because it is true. Listen well to the gospel because it is true. So Jesus says of the lamp in the dark room, this is verse 22, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. A lamp on a stand is not just a light dispenser from which you can choose to come and take photons. That's not how lights work, is it? Once it's up there and lit, it will illuminate the room and the true state of the room and where the cobwebs are and where all the people are, whatever we want it to do. That's what happens when the lamp is on its stand. That's what it does. It shows things as they are. The gospel is meant to be heard by everyone because what it says is true for everyone. That's what's going on in this verse. So what he means in verse 22 by to disclose true things that have so far been hidden. Now, One day when Jesus returns, that will be unarguable. It will be visible to everyone what God is like, what he says about right and wrong, what Jesus has done to rescue us, his authority, his rule. All that will be seen to be true, and everything in the world will be lit up by it, everything we've ever done, everything as it is. There will be no denying it then. It's not the case yet, is it? But what will be seen to be true then is already true today, even though not everybody sees it. It is possible, we know this from the parable of the soils, to ignore Jesus' words, to choose other priorities, to listen to other voices. But that doesn't make his voice not true. The gospel is true even if not everybody hears it. And that is what we'll increasingly discover ourselves as we listen to it well, that it is true and that it illuminates the truth in our worlds and our lives. It is, if you like, not one of several coloured lenses we can choose from to look at the world, but a searchlight that illuminates it as it is. It reveals both painful truth, I am a sinner in need of rescue, and wonderful truth, that rescue is freely given in Jesus Christ. You may have heard people say that we live in a post-truth society. It's something people sometimes say at the moment, isn't it? Where facts are less important than desirability, and where the number of likes is what decides whether an idea is considered correct. But actually, it's always been like that. That's not unique to this year or this decade. Remember Pontius Pilate washing his hands and asking, what is truth? As he sentenced innocent Jesus to execution based on the number of likes from the crowd. It's always been like that. As hearers of Jesus in 2025, we will listen instead to what our Creator says, what he has declared is true about himself and his universe and his people. So why listen well to the gospel? Firstly, because it is for everybody. Secondly, because it's true. And third, because it is meant to be used. This is verses 24 and 25, the second half of our little passage. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. So the sense here is to consider carefully how we listen, not just the particular words of Mark 4, but all the words of Jesus. To think about what we do with our ears, if you like. That's a good way to frame the question. What are we going to choose to listen to with them? How are we going to choose to listen? And what are we going to do next with what we've heard? The picture of measuring here is for his farming audience. You might have spotted almost all the parables in the Gospels, and all the parables of Mark 4 are farming ones. It's a picture of measuring food from the field or maybe from the market. Things like grain and flour and oil and vegetables. They didn't come in plastic packets, well defined for a particular use case. They were just gathered and stored in big bins and sold in quantities with pots of particular sizes, from massive ones to quite small ones. So the picture here is that hearing the message of Jesus is like receiving grain into your larder. Or vegetables into your fridge. That's the picture that's going on here. And it's there to be used. So imagine you come home from hearing or reading the Bible and you put those words into your spiritual fridge. Not an analogy you'll find in the Bible, but it's a good one. So you put Jesus' words in your spiritual fridge. What do you do next? Jesus says, use big measures. Whatever it is, use big measures for what comes next, because those are the measures you want used on yourself too when you're buying or receiving food. It's meant to be gathered and consumed and shared thoughtfully and enthusiastically and generously and immediately. But we're not to be stingy, to eat that spiritual food just in little odd teaspoons and keep it mostly locked away from Monday morning to Saturday night. We're to reach in and grab it by the handful, measure it generously, and use it with gusto. It's just after Christmas is an easy time, I think, probably to to talk about that image, isn't it? It's the one time in the year when most of us have been eating with a bit more gusto. So let's try playing that analogy through. If you're an attentive harvester, you will measure every last bit of food in your larder without waste. You want to get as much into your larder as you can when you're harvesting. And likewise, an attentive listener to God's word will want to catch all they can from the Bible. Read the Bible ourselves day by day. Make sure we're here week by week to hear it taught. Work hard to make sure we're not distracted, to find tools that help us do that. They're different for different people, but some people make notes before or afterwards, or pre-read or reread the passages. There's no better illustration of this, I think, than our young people who are consistently here at church and Frog and 412 week by week, even in exam season, saying, actually, this is the more important truth to hear, more important even than what the exam board says about me. If you're an enthusiastic cook, you'll not be stingy measuring ingredients into your meals, like some of the unsuccessful bake-off contestants I was forced to watch over New Year. And likewise, an enthusiastic listener to God's word will reach back into the fridge often, will keep on chewing over the words from that week, set aside time to pray through them, read other passages, talk them over with family or folk from church or other friends, seek out good teaching resources. If you're a generous host, you will measure the best of your larder for your guests. And likewise, a generous listener to God's word will want to share the truth they find in the gospel with other people, brothers and sisters in church who need to know him better, and those who don't yet know him at all. Do you see the bigger picture there of measuring generously as we chew on and share and use the words of the Lord? They're meant to be used to grow and nourish us and others. And that leads very neatly and finally and fourthly into what Jesus describes about what happens next when we do that. So this is my fourth point. Listen well, because it is a growing gift. Listen well, because it is a growing gift. Verse 25, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Now, this illustration may not resonate so well with those under 40, but at my age, you start to realize that fitness is a little bit of a use it or lose it proposition. In September last year, I joined a gym, something I've not done, as in I've not even been to a gym, never mind being a member of one, since my 30s. And I went for the first time and did about 20 minutes of kind of gently pootling along on a treadmill and the rowing machine. And it was all very jolly, and I came home. And when I woke up the next morning, I could not walk. It was all rather pathetic. And over the course of the next couple of weeks and months, I did go back. And I did see a little bit of improvement in how long I could run on the treadmill for before I started hallucinating from oxygen deprivation. But the bigger thing was actually that I started to recover faster. You've probably had that experience if you've ever started doing exercise from a baseline of none at all. I didn't look like an arthritic gorilla the next morning, or not quite so much, and I was ready sooner to go back for more exercise. And that's the point of the analogy there. It turns out that's how spiritual muscle works too. When you hear the words of Jesus and use them with generous measures again and again over the week, in processing and sharing and thinking through his words, the Lord will give you more. You'll be ready sooner for new truth. You'll be ready sooner to learn and hear more of him and to apply it quickly with courage and integrity. And there was the flip side as well in the verse, wasn't there? If you don't do that, if you park what you hear in your spiritual fridge, you may find when you come back later that it's dried out or gone moldy or just gone. We don't earn Jesus' words, but we do create space for him to give us more and more as we use and process what he has given us. And that's a promise of Scripture. In verse 25, we know that will happen because the Lord says so. So if you're here tonight and hoping for God to speak to you about something that's vexing you for 2025, can I suggest what you do is this. Go home and pray and chew over what he's given you already. Mark 4 this evening, perhaps Psalm 121 this morning if you're here as Tony spoke to us. Pray, Lord, this is what you've given me today. Help me chew on it and apply it now to my life. And what you'll find, because it's a promise of Scripture, is that as you do that, he will graciously feed you more. He'll graciously fill your spiritual muscle with new exercise, embolden you to apply things you've skirted around for years, make you wiser and more godly for when you do come to that vexing thing. So, brothers and sisters, let's listen well to the gospel, to the voice of the Lord Jesus and the voice of the Father in Scripture this year. Listen well because it's for everyone, including you. Listen well because it's true and it reveals what is true. Listen well because it's meant to be used, enthusiastically measured. And listen well because it is a gift God longs to keep giving you. I started this evening with an illustration about tinnitus that I get this imaginary F sharp playing constantly in my left ear because I can't hear the real sound on that side anymore. Well, don't give yourself spiritual tinnitus this year. Other voices, perhaps spiritually, morally more damaging voices, will become loud in your ear when the true voice of Jesus and his word becomes quiet. So make that your New Year's resolution. It would be a great one, that the Lord Jesus would be the loudest voice in your ear this year. Drown out all the other ones by listening to what is true and real, listening to the one who loves you and gave his life for you. Let's be quiet for a moment and then I'll pray for us.